Welcome to The Laundry Hour, a podcast encouraging stay-at-home moms to fulfill their God-given and extraordinary purpose in their seemingly ordinary lives. I'm your host, Jamie Williams. Happy Monday, everyone. Welcome back to The Laundry Hour. Sorry, I've got a little tickle in my throat, trying to drink water. Hopefully, I do not sneeze or cough in this episode, but if I do, know that I'm a live person. I wanted to say thank you so much for tuning in. If you are new at all to The Laundry Hour, I really am privileged that you would stop by and listen. I truly hope that this is something encouraging from the Lord to you. And if you've been with me for a while, thank you for staying. like that means a lot as well. I get really excited to see how many people have listened to the episodes, even if I don't hear from you, knowing that in some way you have heard from me or from the Lord through me. That brings joy to my heart. So I wanted you to know that before we began today. We're going to continue talking about loving the church. I'm really excited about today's episode because I get really giddy about talking about the church and talking about the way that Jesus designed for us to live. Like, he has given us the perfect plan of witnessing not only to the world, but then he's given us a perfect plan of community with one another. And I know that I'm longing for that. I know that other people are longing for that. And I think it's interesting that we're longing for it, and yet Jesus gave us the answer. So let's talk about what that answer is. And let's also talk about why we haven't accomplished it. So starting in John 13:35, Jesus says, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Jesus shares in this moment that this is a new commandment. Love one another just as I have loved you. Now, how has Jesus loved us? He answers it two chapters later in John 15, verses 12 through 13. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." So obviously we can say that Jesus laid down his life for his friends by physically dying on the cross, right? But Jesus said this prior to dying on the cross. We know that Jesus has already laid down his life. Philippians 2 talks about the fact that Jesus was God in heaven, and he laid that down, became a servant, became a human. He didn't think that equality with God was necessary, like completely necessary to hold and grasp. He laid it down, like he's literally like laid down his crown and then took up like a wash basin, you know, where in John 13 we see that Jesus washes his disciples' feet. The same moment, right? Where he's saying, now love people like I've loved you. Serve them. Lay down your life for them. I have laid down my life. I am the King of Glory. And I am currently dying to myself. So he not only laid down his life by coming to earth, he laid down his life by living on mission the entire time he was here. Like, okay, if he was going to become a human, he could be like, ooh, I want to see what it's like to be a human. I'm going to do all the best human things. He didn't do that. Like, he came here to fulfill the mission that God gave him. He didn't deviate from it. He didn't do extra stuff. He suffered while he was here. And then he died. So he became a servant. He suffered, and then he died. Everything we know about Jesus' life is something that he laid down for us. He laid down his life in every single way. And we are now given a new commandment to love one another in that same way. So it's a new commandment because first we were told, love your neighbor as yourself. Now we are told, love one another as I have loved you. Whoa. Whoa. Okay? Like that, I understand that there is some truth to loving ourselves so we can love other people. But I truly believe, based off of this, Jesus is like, no, love them like I've loved you. That's how you know how to love other people. Not because you love yourself. No, because you know how I've loved you. You experience my love for you. You've seen my love for you. And now you can show that to people. Lay down your life for them. Die for them. Serve them. Okay? That's what Jesus is saying. And what's pretty crazy about this is that Jesus isn't commanding us to love the world in this way, but to love other believers, disciples, and Christians in this way. Why? Because when the world sees our Christ-like love for one another, they will know that we are his disciples. And two more chapters later, Jesus continues to say how we affect the world with our love, but also with our unity as the church. John 17, 20 through 21. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So that the world may believe that you have sent me. Our unity as the church is to be like the unity of the Father and the Son. Like, can we even fathom what that means? Like, how many people have trouble understanding the Trinity or the Godhead? Like, okay, so God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are all God, but they're distinct and separate, and yet they're completely the same also at the same time. That makes no sense. And yet, Jesus says, I pray that my church is just like us. Just like when he says marriage is supposed to be a picture of Christ in the church. How is this man and this woman who unite together, they're supposed to be a picture of Christ in the church. And then the church is supposed to be a picture of the Father and Christ. Man, what unity we see in marriage, what unity we see in the church. Those things speak to a world that the Father has sent Jesus. So perfect in community, so perfect in role, so perfect in relationship. And this unity says God sent Jesus. So our love tells the world that we are his disciples, and our unity tells the world that God sent Jesus. At that point, do you think there is anything else standing in the way of an onlooking world to put their faith in that Jesus? Because that Jesus can make completely different people one. Can you imagine what a marriage, a Christ-like marriage, says to people that don't believe in marriage? It's possible with Jesus. My husband and I have a friend who, I mean, it makes perfect sense. She's looking at the world and statistics say that marriage does not work, so why get married? This is not our goal, but I am hopeful and praying that as she watches our marriage, she says something's different about them. Yeah, okay, everybody else's marriage didn't work. Why? And why is their marriage working? What does that mean? And if it is Jesus, what do I do with that truth? Now, imagine that same girl looking at a church, a group of believers unified as one. And she says, I've been to other churches and they are not unified. I'm not going to church. I'm not doing that. As people say, I don't believe in organized religion. But they experience a church that is truly unified, a church that truly loves one another like Jesus. Then they're like, something's different about these people. What is it? And if it is truly Jesus, what am I going to do about that? Like, our love for one another is crucial. Not just because Jesus commands it, and not just because we need to be loved by other people, but because it is our greatest witness to the world that Jesus is who he says he is. Like, if he is truly the one sent by God, claiming all power and authority over all beings, then his disciples should be exhibiting that. We, as his representatives, we, as his ambassadors, we, as his image bearers, should be reflecting to a world who is looking that a church loves one another, that by the way they continually die for one another, and that they are so unified that they are one. One. Not seven. One. Obviously, we can only do this through the power of the Holy Spirit. But as we learned last week, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that makes all of this possible anyway. Because we've been given the Holy Spirit to do what? To be his witnesses. And if love and unity as a church is one of our greatest witnesses, don't you think we need the Holy Spirit to empower us to love one another like Christ and be unified with one another like the Trinity? And not just as individual church members, not just like a group of us, or not just like you and a couple of your believing friends. No, I mean like as a local gathering, like a local church gathering, but also as like the global universal church. Now, what's hard about this is that we're already pretty divided, right? We've got different denominations. We've got different denominations within different denominations. We've got different religions that claim Jesus in some way. We've got people that claim Jesus but don't claim the Bible, claim the Bible but don't claim Jesus. We've got people that claim half of the Bible, half of Jesus. We've got people that claim whatever they want to claim. We've just got a lot. And it's confusing. And it's destructive. And it's divisive. And it's not a good witness. That is one reason why our onlooking world does not believe in Jesus. Why would they believe in a Jesus when they don't see believers loving each other? They actually see us calling each other out and other people, and not in a loving way, but in a divisive way, right? And they don't see us unified. They see us arguing over small things and big things, but not in a way that is truly challenging people to grow and to love. Like, they see us arguing over really small things, like, you know, obviously this is the example, but like the carpet color in the church building, or how we're going to do outreach, or this was my seat. I don't know, whatever we want to argue about. They don't see us unified. They don't see us unified on the things that matter, and they don't see us unified on the things that don't. Does that mean that everybody has to agree on everything? No. But if we are to love one another by laying ourselves down, That means, for example, if you don't like that carpet color, okay, this is the carpet they're choosing. I'll lay myself down and it's going to be okay because that doesn't matter, you know? Or if it's a bigger issue, like, we really need to discuss this. I'm going to lay myself down and discuss it. And you know, because my pride would say, talk about it with other people. My pride would say, hold it in. I don't know. But maybe laying myself down might be actually addressing it so that we can restore the situation. So, I'm going to ask two questions. And when I say the church, I want you to think about other believers in your life. I want you to think about those in your local church gathering. I want you to think about those in other local church gatherings. But then I want you to think about the churches in your nation. We do have some people that are not from North America-ish United States listening. I think I have some Canadians listening, which is super cool to me. But then I also want you to think about those in the world. So all of those things when I say the church, from other believers you know to all the believers in the world. So when you think about love, what are ways you are trying to keep yourself alive rather than dying to yourself for the church? For other believers, for those in your local gathering, those in other local gatherings, because let's be real, we should be dying to ourselves for those in other local gatherings too, because they're also the church. But then all the churches in your nation, all the churches in the world. Churches, obviously, local gathering, what I mean by that, but the church. All those who have put their faith in Jesus and are following him belong to the church. How are you trying to keep yourself alive? Because Jesus said, like, if you keep your life, you will lose it. But if you lose it for my sake, you will keep it. We've got to lose our lives. We've got to lay them down. It cannot be about us. It has to be about Jesus. It has to be about his church. That's the way that the world will see that he sent, that the Father sent him. That's the way the world will see that we are his disciples. Now, what about unity? What's causing the church to be divided? Big question, right? Now, think again. What's causing you and other believers that you know to be divided? What's causing you and those in your local church gathering to be divided? Other church gatherings? I think that's a really big question. Like, what's causing us and other local church gatherings to be divided? What about the churches in your nation and in the world? What's dividing us? And then how are you trying to keep yourself alive? And probably whatever you're trying to do to keep yourself alive is what's dividing us. Not just what you're doing, but of course what all of us are doing, but we can't address everybody else right now. We can only address us, right? So, I think those are worthwhile questions to answer and then to fix. Because the best way we can love the church is by pursuing unity and dying to ourselves. Just like we die to ourselves to love the Lord, to love our husbands, to love our children. Our lives should be marked by dying to ourselves, right? Because the greatest two commandments are to love the Lord and to love others. Our lives as Christians should be marked by how we die to ourselves. Can I pray over you? Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the reminder of a hard truth that our lives should be marked by how we die to ourselves. Our lives should be marked by love. Not the kind of love the world talks about. Not that self-love. Not that selfish love. But a selfless love that lays itself down. That serves. That gives. That dies. In our world does not speak like this, and sometimes our churches do not speak like this. We have gotten so caught up in ourselves that we have forgotten that our whole Christian walk is about letting go of ourselves, giving up ourselves, losing ourselves. It is hard because our sinful nature does not want to do this. But in Galatians, it says that those who belong to Christ crucify the flesh and its desires and its passions. So, if we want to belong to Christ, we must kill the parts of us that choose us over others, that choose us over you. We must kill the parts of us that would rather save our life than lose it. If we want to belong to you, we must die to ourselves. Please help us as individuals in your body. Please help us in our local church gatherings. Please help us in our nation. Please help us in our world, God. Holy Spirit, please, we need your power so that we can be your witnesses, so that we can love, and that we can be unified. In Jesus' name, amen. If you liked today's episode, please subscribe. If you loved it, please share. If you got a habit, please write a review. Though I'm grateful to see how many listen, I do still want to hear what you have to say. And if you want more, tune in next week, because we'll talk about some more practical ways we can love like Christ as the church, but then also be unified as the church. Until then, I will leave you with 2 Peter 1:2. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ rest on you and your families. I love you.